puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time once again for Abandoned Manitoba here on the Weekend Morning Show, where we say good morning to Gordon Goldsboro once again from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nolan.
So remind us again of the clue that you gave us last week.
Well, any listener who has visited downtown Winnipeg knows that it's filled with office towers and various other commercial blocks. But if you look closer, you'll find vestiges of the original streetscapes that existed there a century ago, quite different from the one that we see today. This week, we're talking about what my friend Christian Cassidy calls lonely houses in a small area of the city's core.
So last week, we were talking about downtown Winnipeg and the way that it used to be, and you were describing how there were so many billiard halls, for one. So we're going to keep up the discussion of the downtown streetscape as it was all those years ago. So, okay, what is a lonely house?
Well, I'm not sure it's a formal term, but I would say it's a building that was constructed originally as a single-family detached residence. You know, like the ones we find along many streets around Winnipeg. But a lonely house is the only one left on a street, so I suppose in a way we could say that it is lonely. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that the house is vacant, just that it was once someone's home, and it may still be, but it's the only house in a otherwise commercial landscape.
So the house has not yet been abandoned, but the way that things were once in downtown Winnipeg, that way of life has been abandoned.
Exactly right.
So where are these lonely houses in Winnipeg's downtown?
Yeah, well, we do have to constrain things a little bit because, of course, we could otherwise have a huge, you know, discussion. The area we're considering is the city's commercial core with Main Street on the east side, Broadway on the south, Memorial Boulevard on the west, and Portage Avenue on the north. It's an area that farmers would call a quarter section. It's about 160 acres, or in other words, 65 hectares, or a quarter of a square mile. Today, the area does have residential apartment blocks in it, but to my knowledge, no single-family homes. Maybe. But it used to have them. Of course, listeners may recall our conversation last week where we talked about fire insurance maps. They're a great way to visualize how areas of Winnipeg evolved over time. I used a Winnipeg City Directory and fire insurance maps from 1914 with the objective of estimating how many residential buildings existed at that time in our prescribed area.
So within that sort of quarter section, how many houses were in the area in 1914?
Right. Well, it contained 441 houses altogether. Can you guess how many houses are in it today?
Oh, man. I'm going to say 40.
Well, it's a good guess, and it would seem reasonable.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, no, you're a little high. There are just 3 lonely houses in this area today.
Just 3?
Just 3.
You're kidding.
In other words, over 99% of the houses in downtown Winnipeg are gone. Well, that is, unless I've overlooked some of them, and if so, I'm certainly interested in hearing from listeners about them.
Well, it's a good thing it's not 40, because then you and I would be here all day talking
about each
and every one, and they have a fascinating story attached to each of them. Okay, what do we know about the 3 lonely houses in that quarter section of downtown Winnipeg?
We're going to start with the oldest lonely house, and it dates from around 1888, so it's quite an old house. It's a 2-story building on the west side of Edmonton Street, just south of Graham Avenue, beside a large parkade. The only way that you can tell that it is a lonely house is to view it from across the street. You can see its second floor and roof, but it's partly hidden by a large 1-story addition between the house and the street.
I'm going to guess that the person who built that addition was not the person who initially built that house. What do we know about its history?
Well, we don't know who constructed it, but we know that in 1888, the house was occupied by the Williams family. John Williams, his wife Eliza, not sure which, and their 7 children. The Williamses moved out in 1913, and their former house became a rooming house. You know, that's the one where numerous people who are unrelated to each other all live. And the idea was probably to accommodate as many single people as possible, because the area, I mean, Winnipeg was really popular at that time. People were flooding in from all corners of the world. They needed places to live. Ownership of our building changed frequently until 1938, and that's when that one-story addition was constructed that basically hid the Lonely House. And the whole structure, the Lonely House and this one-story addition, was turned into a medical supply store. So in other words, it stopped being a person's home. That store moved out in 1959, and subsequent occupants included a realty company and a travel agency. But starting in 1973, it began its long association with the restaurant industry.
Oh, so it's still a restaurant today then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, there is a restaurant there that's been there quite a long time, but it's not the first one. In the early 70s, it was a steakhouse. Then it was a French cafe. In the 1980s, it hosted a couple of indigenous restaurants, then a pizza joint. Its present occupant, an Asian restaurant called Ming Court, opened in 1987.
I've had some good late-night noodles at Ming Court.
Absolutely.
Once upon a time. Okay, so that is the first Lonely House. What is the second?
It's on the north side of Graham Avenue, not very far away, between Kennedy and Vaughan. It's pressed tightly up against its neighbor on the west side, a four-story commercial block. Like our previous Lonely House, you can't really see the two-story building unless you stand on the opposite side of the street because, well, it's basically hidden by a storefront. But it is clearly a former residence. You can look at it. You can still see the windows, the roof. You know, it's really easily still a house if you look from above.
So the first one was from the late 1880s. Is this second Lonely House as old?
No, it's newer. It appears to have been built around 1901. We're not absolutely certain, but we think its first occupants were members of the Phillips family, headed by Wilford Phillips and his wife Susan, as along with their son Harold. The Phillipses were there a very short time, less than a year, and then the building was turned into a boarding house, just like the first one we talked about. It accommodated, of course, a whole host of people until the late 1930s, and like the other Lonely House, a one-story storefront was built on front, basically hiding the building behind. Retail stores that operated in the Lonely House included a hobby supply store, a girls' fashion shop, a beauty salon, and an optician. It was briefly used by a homeless youth shelter, but it was vacant for several years in the late 1990s. Then it was a bridal salon for a dozen years in the 2000s, then a youth employment program that closed in 2021. And to be honest, I'm not even sure what it's in now, but it might just be empty for all we know.
I'm sensing a trend with these first two houses here, Gordon. First, that they are kind of in that Graham Avenue area. What is it about that specific part of this quarter section that you think is conducive to keeping these lonely houses up?
Well, I think the reason they very quickly turned into something other than a residence was that that area was really developing as a commercial enterprise. I mean, the Hudson's Bay Company store, for example, built that huge building, the Eaton store not far away. And so, you know, there really wasn't the same value in having residential property there. It was more valuable to turn it into, you know, retail space. So I think that's probably part of the explanation.
So, as you say, they are buried within this sort of commercial building sort of landscape now. Is the third Lonely House we're going to talk about any different?
Oh, yes. In fact, the third Lonely House is the only one that I think is clearly a former house. In other words, it's not hidden behind some sort of commercial storefront. And in fact, according to the City of Winnipeg's online database, it is still zoned as residential space, unlike the other two, which are commercial and have been for a very long time. This small one-and-a-half-story building is on the west side of Fort Street between Broadway and York Avenue. It's the youngest of the three lonely houses, dating from 1902, just a little bit younger than the previous one. Its first occupant was a fellow named William Squires and his family. The Squireses were there just a short time, too. They moved out in 1904, and over the next seven decades, into the 1970s, it remained a single-family residence, not a boarding house. So quite different occupation history. I'm told, though, that in the 1980s, the house was the center of the city's punk music community. No, of course, I'm not being a big fan of punk music. I wouldn't have known that. It's something I read, but no firsthand knowledge, I'm afraid. Nope. But in the late 1980s and in through the 1990s, the building provided office space for an archaeological consulting company.
Okay, so I'm assuming then that it is not still, in fact, the center of this city's punk music community.
No. Punk music, long gone, I think. Archaeological consulting, I think, gone too. But as for what it is being used for, you know, I'm hard-pressed to say because, well, I walked by the Lonely House a couple of weeks ago and there was no sign of commercial activity. There weren't any signs or anything on the outside that would reveal, you know, them doing business in the building. It was early on a weekend morning and there were a couple of personal vehicles parked behind it. So it seemed to me that the building might still be in use as a residence. And if so, I would say it takes the prize as the only single-family home in Winnipeg's downtown core of the hundreds that were here a century ago.
441 down to 3.
And 1 if you really take a strict definition of it.
Right. The last reminder of downtown that used to be. So interesting, Gordon. Thank you so much for bringing that to us. What is up for next week?
Well, when one talks about abandonment, as we do here, inevitably things change. You know, buildings get destroyed, for example, or we learn about them new information based on, you know, new research. So periodically in our Abandoned Manitoba series, we provide updates on previous episodes. We'll do that next week.
I am very relieved because I thought you were going to say that punk music has been abandoned and punk music, Gordon, will never die. Thank you so much for coming in. We'll talk to you then.
Sounds good. See you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.